Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's bet.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome in to another Behind the Bets podcast number two this week for Super Bowl week. I am Ben Fox in studio. It's a little lonely because Doug is in the frozen tundra of Minneapolis. Doug, how you doing?
Today was no joke, Ben. Early in the week, it was fine. Like, I got here Tuesday, 30 degrees or so. It's totally fine. Obviously, living in Connecticut, I was well-adjusted. But today, I was a little disappointed. The weather, Mother Nature got too excited about the shift in the point spread going to four, minus four, because it was minus four when I woke up.
Oof. Yeah, I know from seeing all the national media's tweets, which, again, it's Minnesota in February, so I think we knew it was going to be cold. But some snow, definitely some cold. People weren't too pleased, necessarily. I would imagine, for the most part, they're in the Mall of America or restaurants or their hotels going in between them via Uber. So I don't think people are walking around outside too much. But I understand. It's cold. Minus four is just cold, no matter where you're from.
Yeah, it's different. Like today I had to dust off the thermals. At least I brought them, right? I did a little research on the internet with my app, right? Like extensive research. But, you know, minus four, wind, like it's painful. Like it's no joke. Like 10 degrees is totally bearable. Like to your point, you're not walking around outside playing touch football. Like you're just like getting in the Uber or shuttle bus or whatever, your own car. But minus four is just, I walked outside today to get in the Uber, and had not put my glove on one of my hands because I was working my phone, and my hand was killing me. Like,
yeah,
it was painful.
Yeah. Well, it will continue to be cold, but there is a game on Sunday. I guess before we get a little bit into the game, and obviously we'll have John Murray from the Westgate on, we'll have David Purdom on. BetterX, obviously the guy who was betting the Super Bowl, betting the World Series, won around $10 million and now has been placing multiple million-dollar bets and some six-figure bets on the Eagles' money line. There you go. I believe one on the Eagles plus 4.5. What is your take, I guess, on this? It seems very rare that somebody places that many million-dollar wagers, I believe, and I'll ask Purdom later on to confirm. I think there was one million-dollar wager on last year's Super Bowl, and already we now have three. William Hill, I believe yesterday, took a $1.6 million wager from their branch in the Bahamas, so off the Vegas Strip. But that's already three, basically, million-dollar bets for this Super Bowl, and two of them coming from this one guy.
First of all, it's exciting, right?
Yeah,
you know, the Super Bowl, you hear about these bets every year, and you know, whether it's a celebrity gets down or this mysterious guy, BetterX, who John Murray gave us the nickname on this podcast, I believe. If you know, we're going to run it by John momentarily, but I think it's just cool, right? Like, you got $1 million, legit money. When I worked in Vegas, there were a couple guys I knew that came in, and I saw them bet $1 million. Like, I literally saw it on his tablet. And I saw him do it. He actually had money on the first half and the teaser as well.
Oh,
it was the Colts Saints game.
Mm.
So he did well in the first half and then got hosed a little bit on that pick six and really the onside kick to begin the second half. But I think it's just exciting. Now, specific to BetterX, it's a little, I mean, who am I to criticize a guy who goes 5 for 5 in the World Series? But I will. he's leaving money on the table. He's leaving money on the table. That's all I'll criticize, not his handicapping, because clearly he's on a nice run. But, you know, if somebody goes and bets $500 on plus 160 or whatever it is, right, or 170, and then the line moves to 160, and they don't go down the street to the other casino to get 10 cents better and bets 160 again for a second pop, like that's a difference of $50, and you want to like walk, and it's kind of a pain in the butt, and like even gas. Like, I get all that. Like, I get it. Convenience. You don't want to do it. And like, I get it. But when you're betting $1 million and you're costing yourself like 15 cents, 20 cents, I mean, that's $200,000 for every million bet. And it's a lot of coin, right? Like, And I think it's tedious to wire transfer money and do all that. I'm sure there's fees on that. But if you're trying to make some serious money and maybe even get out of it, like let's say the Eagles are up 7 with the ball in the fourth quarter and you can scout back or something like that, plus money on the Patriots side, and you want to reduce your bet because you're a little nervous or maybe Nick Foles got hurt and he's limping around, whatever it may be. I just think you have to – like beating the odds is tough enough. And then when you don't take the best odds and give yourself the best chance to win, I just don't think it's a recipe for success in the long term.
Yeah, it's – I mean, I agree with you. First and foremost, it's just exciting, right? Like this is
right.
Part of the reason why we have betting is because people have a lot of money and they want to be able to spend it, and it's legal for them to do it. And it's exciting. People don't bet millions of dollars on things every single day, and they're not going to bet that for the most part on Jaguars-Titans Thursday Night Football of Week 12 of the season. It just doesn't happen. It's these big events, you know, Super Bowl, March Madness. I would assume it's spread out more. But you have, you know, kind of pockets where, I don't know, betting is more in the mainstream, and the Super Bowl is obviously, you know, one of the biggest examples. I think what's interesting too is just the fact that he doesn't seem like he's hedging at all. He's just, it's Eagles money line, Eagles money line, Eagles money line, maybe Eagles spread. How much, I guess, would you say would, you know, let's put you in this situation. If you were doing this, would you be hedging those bets? And then how much kind of in-game can he get? I know that's been brought up when some people have sent me messages, is how much can he get back on the other side in-game? I can't imagine it's much more than $100,000, $200,000 max.
Well, first of all, what my understanding is this guy was a regular MMA bettor. So, and then he came out of nowhere and bet baseball and did not seem to be a connoisseur of betting baseball.
Right.
So, we're dealing with a guy who's, you know, kind of like hot in the craps table. I'm sort of getting that vibe. Not negative connotation. That implies like guy drunk and yelling. Like, no, just a guy who's enjoys gambling and does it recreationally. And he's, instead of being at the craps table or baccarat table or blackjack table, he's just doing it on sports, and which is cool. And like, people have disposable income for entertainment purposes. And maybe he's just a really wealthy guy and has this money set aside. And he's pressing, right? He's got obviously a lot of winnings. So I encourage him. I think that's awesome. So, but he's approaching it completely different than like I would, because it would be more sort of like a portfolio. And I think what it's kind of funny with the Super Bowl is that usually there's no real huge advantage. I mean, look at last year. Falcons were up and it ended up being a close finish on the point spread. So maybe last year's a bad example, but sometimes there's like one-sided games, but like maybe the Seahawks over the Panthers, like that was pretty one-sided, but I still maintain the Broncos Panthers game could have gone either way.
Totally.
Like if not for that, there was a drop, and I believe the next play is when Peyton Manning fumbled, right? There was like a drop before that or whatever, like the strip sack fumble, whatever it was. But like these games. So like, I feel like if you're a big bettor, you want to like lay in the weeds and find your spot. And I don't think the Super Bowl is usually that spot. I think it's like a good college football spot. But then again, we saw Alabama was a great spot against Clemson in the national semifinal game. So maybe the big games are some – it just depends. So it's just kind of funny that these people like to bet big on the Super Bowl, where it's not necessarily – they love this game more than any other bet they've had. Like when an actor comes out and bets big on a Super Bowl, and I obviously understand right now that I've been dabbling a little bit, but – it's not their favorite game of the year. Usually your biggest bet should be correlated to the bet you like the most. But here it's like they're betting sometimes for the sake of betting big. And when you're a celebrity, and sometimes you can do that with Ben Affleck or whoever's bet big over the years, that's cool. More power to him, Barkley or whatever. But usually in my logic, what would I do is usually it's you bet the most amount of money on a game, the one you love the most. And that necessarily isn't reflected with the Super Bowl, because obviously the handle, they will take the biggest bets, but I would definitely position myself. I would not have done as much on the money line. I would take the points. And, you know, usually it's like 75% of the bet should be on the points if you're an underdog, and 25% on the money line if you really like it. But if you think the wrong team's favored, hey, more power to you.
Yeah. I mean, I would say kind of, as we've discussed on the pod throughout the season, basically logically, the NFL is the toughest sport to beat. Sides are the toughest part of the NFL to beat. And when there are fewer games, i.e. the playoffs, i.e. the Super Bowl, where there is one game, the line's going to be that much tougher to beat. So it seems like this is the toughest game one could argue, to beat. But again, this is why you have handicappers, and, you know, he clearly has a position he likes, and he's going all in, and it's exciting. Look, I think I would imagine most people, the line is down to, I think it opened New England 6, 6.5, maybe even 7 some places offshore. Now it's down to New England 4, 4.5 in Vegas. It seems like people are think that the New England money is coming for the weekend, and it's probably not going any lower. But again, you know, who knows if this guy puts down another $5 million around town, or people allow him to do that, it'll, you know, it could go down to 3.5 or lower. It's just, it's a very interesting variable that otherwise he wouldn't have, in the same way the World Series had him plus the Mattress Mac guy plus the ticket brokers hedging in case, you know, the Dodgers didn't make it to Game 7. It's all just good fodder for discussion as well.
Right, and it just increases the awareness. You know, I'm here in Minnesota, as we know, and I did Radio Row yesterday. And, I mean, I don't know, I did about 25 radio hits, some on the phone only, about 5 on the phone only, and the other 20 radio in person. And I'd say 80% of them mentioned BetterX. And one station is very Mormon-based, I guess, in Denver, so we didn't talk about betting at all, but which was fine. It was a fun interview. But
talk to me about Super Bowl food.
Mentioned, yeah, they're like you know, we talked about, obviously, the Alex Smith trade had just happened,
right.
So that was a lot of it, and I actually got bumped from a couple stations in that area. But you talk about BetterX a bunch, or maybe the U.S. Supreme Court, if not BetterX, and then obviously some other stuff in the game and the prop bets, but It is national attention right now, and that's awesome. It's cool. Like imagine if every guy who had huge run at, like, the blackjack table or craps had national attention, right?
Yeah.
That's all this is. This is a wealthy individual who is not some dude poring over, like, stats or a pro or a tout or anything like that. This is a dude who just wants to fire on some games, comes into Vegas, and has, like, a slush fund, so to speak, and he's got hot and – he's resurfaced. I mean, I think it's a cool story, and I wish, you know, obviously that's a lot of money, but I'm sure there's a lot of guys like that. I know some guys who came for the second round of the football playoffs, really wealthy dudes who are, like, mostly in California, CEO types, and they came and they fired on, like, 4 games, and then, you know, like, loved it and went home.
Yeah. No, it is another form of entertainment, and you go to Vegas and it's legal, and that's, you know, you win some, you lose some, or if you're BetterX, you win every single game. So far. And again, I think that's why it's interesting.
Yeah, you win them all and not lose any.
Right. If he went 4 for 5 in the World Series, it would still be an amazing story. But the fact that he was undefeated and wagering all this money is fascinating. Well, we got that to talk about with John Murray and David Purdom, and a lot more to it. So let's get to it.
Let's now head out to Las Vegas. And the man who created the nickname Better X, right here on this very podcast, the Behind the Bets podcast, Mr. John Murray. Out at Westgate.
Look, I don't want to say that I created BetterX nickname. One of the guys that writes all my material, I'm sure, came up with that. I think we were the first people to call him that, though, on any shows like this.
And you were also bankrolling him, from what I understand, Murray. Is that correct, with a slush fund out in the Cayman Islands?
The World Series, maybe, but my NFL picks weren't too good, so I don't know where he's coming up with all this money for the Super Bowl.
Well, let's get into the Super Bowl momentarily. First things first, NBA, quick just housekeeping item. Boogie Cousins out for the season with an Achilles injury. Obviously, a big blow for the New Orleans Pelicans, given they were starting to play well. And really, in that year they've been together, the two big men, Anthony Davis and Boogie, really playing their best. Yeah. So they take a huge hit. Today they added Mirotic. But what kind of impact did that have on the power ratings and odds?
Well, we downgraded the Pelicans a little bit because of that injury. Because, like you said, Doug, Boogie Cousins was playing very well. As far as the future odds, did anybody actually think the Pelicans could beat the Warriors or the Rockets even with Boogie Cousins?
Nah.
Probably not.
I mean, I don't think it really doesn't make any difference to me. And Blake Griffin going to Detroit, that also doesn't really make any difference to us, at least, in terms of the future book. You know, the day that Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors, we just gave the Warriors every championship until the team breaks up. So there's nothing too exciting and adjusting in the future book right now.
So real quickly, power ratings wise and odds wise, like who's the second biggest threat? Is it Cavs, Celtics, Rockets?
Well, the second highest power rated NBA team is definitely Houston. Cleveland is not a good basketball team. I still think it's very possible that LeBron will just single-handedly drag them to the NBA Finals again. But Cleveland is not a good team at all. Houston is definitely the second highest power rated team in the NBA right now, and I don't think that they're a threat to the Warriors, honestly. But if you make me pick a team, I'll pick Houston.
That's fair enough. Moving on to the NFL, I hear they're playing a game this weekend. Your team, Murray, though, the Redskins, are not in the game, but they did just get a new franchise quarterback. It's not Kirk Cousins. Of course, we're talking about Alex Smith going to the Redskins. The deal can't technically be done until March 14th, but it is, for all intents and purposes, finished. They get Alex Smith. They give away Kendall Fuller. Looks like Cousins will obviously go somewhere else. First, from your fan perspective, put on the fan hat, what were your thoughts? And then how did this affect the future book, if at all, for both the Chiefs and the Redskins?
Well, I would say if you're a Redskins fan, it's just another hilariously stupid trade by that front office. I mean, they trade Kendall Fuller's like one of their best players, or he was, and he was on his rookie deal. So he's cheap. He's the kind of guy you win games with, a cheap, you know, guy on a rookie contract who's playing very well. They also gave up a third-round pick to get Alex Smith, who's 4 years older than Cousins, and now they're just letting Cousins leave in free agency. I mean, if they knew they didn't want to commit to Kirk Cousins, they should have traded him when he was under contract. Instead, they just do, like, the most boneheaded thing they can possibly do, which is what the Redskins always do. They always do the wrong thing, and this is yet another example of the Redskins just being stupid.
Can't dispute that. So it's fair to say that this was not your reaction.
You like that?
Oh, no, it wasn't as bad. Like, I've kind of, like, over the years, I've stopped caring about the Redskins, like, a little bit more each season.
You've gotten to that point. I got it.
I wasn't as mad as I was when I found out that they traded, I think they traded a 2 to the Eagles for Donovan McNabb.
Yep.
And I remember just, like, texting with my dad and my brother, like, well, if the Eagles are willing to trade McNabb within their own division, he must suck. And we were right again. So I think if you want a safe bet, bet on every decision the Redskins front office making blowing up in their face. That will be a safer bet than anything you'll get on this week's Super Bowl.
Well, I'm sure those would be good odds. And then just to finish up the housekeeping item, there were no future book changes, correct? Chiefs, I think, were 25-1. Redskins were like 60 or 80.
No, we didn't adjust anything. I mean, I think the Chiefs are doing the right thing by moving on to Mahomes. I think he'll play really well this year in Andy Reid's offense. And for the Redskins, going from Cousins to Smith, I don't think it makes any difference personally. I just don't understand why the Redskins would want to trade for a guy. I know he's 4 years older than Cousins. The Redskins have this ceiling now where, like, if everything goes well and they stay healthy, their best-case scenario is maybe they could win a wild-card playoff game and then lose in the next round. And the Redskins have to hit that reset button and rebuild, and they just will not do that. And they're stuck in that no-man's land, and you don't want to be in that area in any sport.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, that's enough Redskins talk for this pod right now. We will move to the big game, the Super Bowl. Tell me where you guys are at right now, where kind of the money has been coming in. Seems like it's been Eagles money so far. Are you expecting Patriots money? Is it more Patriots money? We'll obviously get into the props and specific props, but just kind of the game and the total, where has the money been coming in so far, and then where do you think it might come in for the weekend?
Well, it was all Philadelphia money early. I know we talked about that last week. We did move to 4 on Monday morning. I think we were the first book in town to go to 4. And since then, we have seen a lot of like mid-5-figure bets in that range, 30, 40, 50,000. We've had several of those come in on the Patriots at -4. So the book is starting to balance the money a little bit more. The money line bets have still been mostly on Philadelphia, and I think that will definitely continue into the weekend, Ben. The public loves to take that plus on the money line in the Super Bowl. They do that every year. On the total, right now we're sitting at 48. I think it counts about 2-1 on the over. That's not a big surprise. You know, the public is going to want to bet on over and a lot of positive player props. They like excitement, Ben.
Yeah, I'm just surprised, I guess, the total hasn't moved that much, but maybe it's just a good number and people have an opinion on it.
Well, I mean, I think 48 is pretty high, personally. I mean, for considering how good Philadelphia's defense is, that seems like a high total, but no surprise, the public is mostly backing the over anyway. That seems to happen in the Super Bowl a lot. And I know, like, last year I thought the total in that game was very, very high and somehow managed to go over at the very end.
So just to recap, sharp action, we know of Better X's busy weeks, last couple of weeks. But just you know, where are the sharps lying right now on this game in terms of the side and total before we get into props?
In terms of the side and total, none of the guys that – well, that's not true. We did have one guy that we do respect quite a bit. He took 4.5 over the weekend on Philadelphia, plus 4.5. But some of our more well-known sharp guys, they haven't weighed in yet on the side or the total at our book. They certainly have been hammering the props, though.
All right, so let's talk about those props. I know there's been significant movement, and we can talk a little bit about how professionals who are more arbitragers, but in terms of bettors that are handicapping props, where have we seen some action go so far?
You want to know the sharper guys or kind of the bigger, like the house bets?
Both.
Well, we've definitely had we did have one guy, big house player, bet Nick Foles over one touchdown pass minus 200. He laid 100K to win 50K on that one. So that was the biggest bet we've taken on any of the props thus far.
A Nick Foles believer.
Yeah, I mean, and that will probably, I know it's only Thursday, but I think that will probably end up being the biggest prop that we take. 100K on a prop is a pretty big bet. I mean, to win 50K, but that's a pretty good size bet on a
so,
prop.
So what was the straddle on that line when he bet it, and then what did you move the line to?
Right now, we moved the over up to minus 240 on that one. We're trying to get a little bit of money back on under plus 190, but we're not too worried about that. We like to – this guy fires on a lot of different stuff, and we're happy to let him make big bets, and we're not, like – overly like trying to sell it off, but at the same time we don't really want to invite any more money on over one. That's enough liability for one prop.
And then what are some other action that's been significant to report on props?
One that we've seen a lot of movement on, Deion Lewis under 4.5 catches. That's gone from minus 120 up to minus 170. We did take a few sharp bets on Nick Foles to not throw an interception. That's been knocked down from plus 150 to plus 120. One bet I thought was interesting, we saw a number of sharp guys bet that the Eagles would not convert a fourth down. We opened it at no plus 130, now we're down to no plus 105. I thought that was interesting because the Eagles are very aggressive about going for it on fourth downs.
Hmm. Not a fourth down. Interesting. Well, I saw, of course, my favorite prop bet, Corey Clement. Is it Clement or Clement?
I think it's Clement, but I have no idea.
All right, we'll call him Clement because it's easier for me to pronounce. I think it was over 13.5 receiving yards. I believe it's up to over 14.5, probably just on the fact that I was thinking about betting it or, you know, hypothetically betting it. Are there any other small ones or the over-under receiving yards, Gronk, or anything that has had action or moved significantly?
Well, Ben, are you the one who was out here betting Clement to score the first touchdown of the game? Because that's actually in that pool of who will score the first touchdown, our worst outcome is Clement. We had to knock him down from 30-1 to 25-1.
Wow. Yeah, I flew out on Tuesday night and took the red eye back for work on Wednesday. It was quite a...
You didn't even open the props until Thursday.
I meant this week. Yeah.
I got you. Yeah. No, we... That's one of our worst ones. We have seen some money go on Gronk under receiving yards, guys. We opened him 75.5. We've knocked him down a little bit. A lot of the money, though, has come in on guys middling and scalping us to other books around town, especially on the yes-no touchdown props. Some of our competitors open very different prices from us on those. I mean, I can give you an example. One of the other books in town opened James White touchdown at Pick'em. We opened him no minus 330. So we took a lot of money, guys scalping us to that particular book. And right now we've got White, no, minus 260, yes, plus 210. We've got a pretty big decision on that one. And that happened with a few other players. There were some very big differences from what we opened these yes-no touchdown prices to what some of our competitors opened with.
So I feel like we mentioned that a fair amount, and I'm sure a good amount of our listeners know, but just give a brief description of kind of what the arbitrage or scalping is and why sharp bettors are doing that across town. And obviously the Super Bowl is one of the best chances to do that with so many prop bets and many that cross over across books. But what kind are they trying to do, and what is their goal? Why is it successful?
Well, if you were able to be the first guy in line at both our book and that book, you could have bet James White to not score a touchdown at our book, or I'm sorry, to score a touchdown at our book at plus 260 and to not score a touchdown at our competitor's book at minus 110. That's a massive scalp. Now, I doubt very much that anybody was able to get the first number on both of those. But even if you got adjusted prices on both the no and the yes at two different books, you'd have a very nice scalp, and you'd be set up in a position to make some decent money either way, no matter what he does. And I know what our competitors were thinking with that price. They're thinking that the public is all going to come in on the yes, so they want to write some no money early. And I understand that, and I'm not going to speak for, like, how they do their business. I'm sure they know their business better than I do. But I did think some of those prices seemed a little bit crazy. I don't know how you can say James White is pick 'em to score a touchdown in this game.
So for those of our listeners who are a little slow to pick some of that up, or, you know, not as well-versed in the gambling industry, so basically a scalp is a term on a money line where it's very simple. You can scalp and shave a few cents and make some guaranteed money. So if one side is minus 120 and the other side is plus 130, that is a 10-cent scalp that you can either adjust so you get maybe close to 5 cents on both sides, or just 10 cents and have a rooting interest on the other. The other is called, other part of arbitraging is more on things like yards and points and completions, where you can do what's called derivative trading in the finance world, is sort of create your own contract. So, and John, feel free to pick this up. It's like, you know, one book might have Tom Brady's passing yards at 275 and a half yards, and the other place might have 283 and a half yards. And that 8-point middle based on the juice might be worth it to arbitrage bettors to create a separate contract, meaning you create your own bet and take a shot at 20-1 payout or 30-1, depending on the juice.
Well, I think the easiest way to understand it would be, I think we opened Nick Foles at like 238.5, 239.5 passing yards, and one of the other books in town was somewhere in the 270s. So if you were able to bet, wow, let's just under 275.5 on Foles, over 239.5 with us, you've got yourself a very nice middle. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not 100% sure exactly what those numbers were, but I think that gives you a general idea of just how big of a middle you could get. Now, the problem is you've got a lot of other guys. They're all battling to get those same middles and scalps with you. You really would need a team of guys, I think, to be able to canvas the whole city and get down on all these props that way.
That's a good discussion. It's also, I think, a lot of what we get into with gambling versus betting, and the kind of the difference between the sharps and the guys that are just doing it for fun. A little bit on the Super Bowl, Murray. Tell us about this game specifically, and I would imagine some, to a certain degree, the playoff games. How much of an influence does the public have as compared to, let's say, Week 16, and it's a Jaguars-Titans game?
Well, certainly more, and you'll see that in the money line. This money line will probably get knocked down a little bit just because we know how the public is going to bet it. There's so much money in these pools. I mean, the biggest influence it would have, Ben, would be we can just take a much bigger bet on this game than we could on that Jaguars-Titans game because there's just so much more money in the pool. So we can take all these bets, like the ones I talked about earlier on the Patriots -4 for mid five figures, and we don't even have to consider moving the line because that's really not that big of a bet on a game like this. There's just so much money in all these different pools, the side, the total, the money line, and in the props, and we can afford to be very aggressive in this game.
So what do you make of this line coming down?
I'm a little surprised. I mean, I know BetterX has certainly been partially responsible for it, right? I'm not hugely surprised. I know you and I talked about this yesterday, Doug. I always say that the public always bets what they just saw. And they just saw New England. I thought New England was very lucky to beat Jacksonville. They probably should have lost that game. And Philadelphia just, you know, trounced the Vikings. But the public always bets what they just saw. They just saw Philadelphia look great. They just saw the Patriots look very vulnerable. I guess it's not a huge surprise that everybody's on the Eagles when you look at it like that.
Hold on one second. I just have to,
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay
back! Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
30!
No!
10!
Oh, sorry. I just had to get back into a good place there. It took a couple seconds. Trounce. Trounce.
I wasn't trying to rub salt in the wound.
No, it's all right.
The public always does this. I mean, I remember, what was the Super Bowl 2 years ago? Carolina just trashed Arizona in the NFC Championship game. And then when we first opened that Carolina-Denver line, saw a lot of money come in on Carolina. It's kind of a similar situation where Denver barely escaped against New England in the AFC Championship game. Carolina looked like world beaters, and the early money was all on Carolina in that game. And then a lot of sharp money did show up later in the week on Denver.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the sharps are just waiting to pounce on New England money line just because of the value and things like that. I mean, look, there's one thing that, you know, talking to these guys we've either had on the podcast or just over the years is whatever theory you think you have, that's usually built into the line. So it's not like no one knows, everyone thinks Gronk's going to not play, right? It's not like Nick Foles all of a sudden became a backup quarterback. Like, the odds makers know he's a backup quarterback. So whatever, now you can think it's a more prevailing theory, because there's like seven storylines or five betting storylines in this game. And like, for me, I just think Belichick is going to baffle Nick Foles. Like, that's my, and I think that'll be a dominating storyline. That's why I lean Patriots. But it is kind of interesting that, you know, when people are forced to have an opinion on this game, where it also might just be, you know what, the line's pretty right.
People are definitely forced to have an opinion on the Super Bowl, right? Nobody wants to talk about anything else this week. Philadelphia is going to have to run the ball successfully to win this game, I think. I don't think Nick Foles is going to be able to beat the Patriots through the air. They're going to need to have some success on the ground. If they don't have any success on the ground, I think they might get into some serious trouble on Sunday, guys.
So with that, do you think this line, in your professional opinion, goes any lower than 4?
4 is so low. And, you know, what was the line? The line last week was, there were some 3.5s out there, or 2 weeks ago, I should say. And that game was in Philadelphia against Case Keenum. And now the line is 4 on a neutral field against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I do think the line has gotten about as low as it can go, Ben, in terms of the point spread. I wouldn't be surprised, though, to see the money line continue to go down, because in the Super Bowl, the money line and the point spread aren't always in line with what they, like, quote-unquote, should be, because the public is always happy to take that dog money line. I don't think we'll see 3.5 on this game, but I think it's more likely to go back up the other way. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised to see this money line get down even lower, maybe into the minus 160 range at some books in town come Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I kind of thought, like, I guess I'll just ask you, since this is what you do, what would you have made the line between New England and Philadelphia if, let's say, before the divisional round, we didn't know anything coming, they both teams had a bye, you know, let's just say they were facing off in Minneapolis. Wouldn't that had to be like Patriots -7?
I think it might have been higher than 7. If you look at what the lines were, you know, Philadelphia was getting 3 at home against Atlanta, getting 3 at home against the Vikings. Now you talk about going onto a neutral field. New England is definitely power rated higher than Atlanta or Minnesota. So, yeah, I'd say at least 7, Ben. So this number, I think, has come down about as low as it can. I don't see it going lower than 4. But, you know, I do work for noted Philadelphia Eagles homer Ed Sammons. He might might, you never know with him. He might decide to go to 3.5 this weekend. Although, you know, he's been hard to understand this week, guys. He's wearing that ridiculous dog mask, so it's kind of
really?
Kind of hard to understand what he's saying when he's barking orders at us.
There's no chance he's wearing that mask.
Oh, yeah, no, the German Shepherd mask.
Because I do remember you said it on this podcast that if they made the Super Bowl, he had to wear it. I didn't realize it was, like, for a week. I just thought, like, for a few minutes.
I think he put it on during the props, but at work, same old Ed.
Okay.
But he's very, he's very confident in this game, guys. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to him this week. He's picking the Eagles to win 57-0, I think. So he's very cocky this week.
Score approximate, yes.
Right. Yeah, he likes the over, is what you're saying.
I said 7-3, but it was a very one sided score. I do remember that part.
So actually, I know a professional bettor who grabbed +7 offshore. So even with the Eagles' performance, he was able to get 7 somewhere a far off land. And so I don't remember seeing that 7 was up there, but obviously I believe him. But so you don't see? I think it touched at 3.5, didn't it? Briefly in Vegas last week or so.
I don't remember seeing 3.5. I remember the lowest I've seen so far that I remember seeing is 4, Doug. I know that there was 6.5 in Vegas right when the line opened at some places. So I'm not going to say it's impossible that that guy got a +7 offshore. Definitely is possible. But I know there was 6.5. It was as high as 6.5 in town. I can't say I've seen 3.5 yet, but I won't say it's impossible.
Gotcha. It's fascinating. The whole thing is fascinating.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun. It's just, all these props are kind of a headache to deal with. But it's going to be a fun weekend for sure, but it'll definitely be a relief when it's over.
Well, speaking of headaches, we've been giving people plenty with our picks all year. So why stop now? Murray, do you want to lead off here? I don't have the Vikings to bet for or against, so I'm more neutral than I've been in the playoffs.
How fun of a pick do you guys want here? Do you want us to go with a prop bet or with a side or a total?
We'll allow props. We'll allow prop bets.
We'll allow props. You know, there's a few props I like, but I think I'm going to just keep it very simple, guys. I'm going to go with the under 48. I had the under in last year's Super Bowl. That didn't work out too well. I actually had the under in the first half of the Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl. Do you guys remember that one where I think Seattle scored a touchdown at the very end.
It was a pick six,
that was awesome.
I think, yeah.
But I do remember 2 years ago, my mom was out here this week, and she asked me what she should bet, and I said, bet the under. You won't have any fun, but I think it'll win in that Denver-Carolina game. And I don't think she watched the game anyway, so she wouldn't have had any fun anyways, but she did bet the under, and it did win, and that's really all that matters, guys, is getting that W.
Take that for data.
So, where do you have the juice right now on total pass attempts by Tom Brady?
Oh, my goodness. Doug, you're going to make me go into...
Bet number 10283.
All right. Well, while he's doing that, I will contemplate and stall, as any good host would do, and discuss my pick. I will give a pick on the game because I gave one for the ESPN.com staff picks that everyone should check out on, I believe it's on the front page now and on the NFL page. I had 24-21 Eagles, which would be Eagles obviously covering and on the money line. I'd say I'm probably more comfortable with them against the spread than necessarily winning, but, part of that is just, I don't really like the Patriots, so I was going to pick against them. I do feel, I do agree with Murray on the under. I feel like the Patriots tend to be dink and dunk and the Eagles, I don't think they necessarily want to trust Nick Foles to have more of a hurry-up offense, which is sometimes effective against the Patriots. I feel like they will be methodical, and I can't imagine them being as effective in the red zone and scoring touchdowns against as they were against the Vikings defense. That could be wrong, but that's just the sense I got. So I would go under the 48 as well, and Corey Clement. Or Clement, however we decide to pronounce his name. That's what I'm going with. I guess it's 14.5 now. So that is the number I will take. I will take the over on receiving yards for Mr. Corey Clement. I think they use him a lot out of the backfield. I think they use him in the screen game, and that could be one catch. That could be two catches, but I like that one. Was that good, Murray? Did that give you enough time?
Yeah, I got it. 24-21, you calling for six touchdowns, or do you have the Eagles kicking eight field goals to get to 24?
No, touchdowns. Yeah,
we do have touchdowns. An over-under touchdowns. I thought it's not out there anymore, I don't think, but there was at a time you could bet under six touchdowns, which I thought was a very, very pretty good bet. Seven touchdowns would be a lot in this game, but right now most of the books, I think, are at 5.5 on the over-under touchdowns. Tom Brady completions is 27 flat, Doug. It's 27 minus 110 either way. You got to give me a warning if you're going to make me dig up one prop, man. There's a few.
What about pass attempts?
Oh, pass attempts, I'm sorry. 40.5 over minus 115.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at your sheet, and it says 39.5 over 110. So I hope it doesn't land 40 because I like the over. I'm going to be a believer in what Mr. Barnwell said on our podcast on Tuesday, and he posted his piece today on ESPN.com, in that the Giants presented sort of the recipe of success, and the the no-huddle, hurry-up offense is sort of the way to go. And I expect Brady to keep these guys on their toes, much like we saw in the Super Bowl against the Eagles 13 years ago. A lot of screen passes, misdirection. I like the passing attempts. The ball will be in Brady's hand. So I would like over 40.5. As for an opinion on the game, I had to give it for a couple publications as well. I went with 27-16 Patriots. I think they cover as well.
One thing I have seen, Doug, is some sharp guys betting over the number of different players on both teams with a pass reception and under the number of players on both teams with a rushing attempt. That I respect have been betting in a way that would lead me to believe there's going to be a lot of passing in this game. So that could be good for your over 40.5 pick.
Probably mostly to Corey Clement, I would think.
Well, so, of course.
It should be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that New England would look to throw the ball, maybe a lot of shorter passes, though, because, you know, Philadelphia is very good up front defensively.
Yeah, and I just think it's a tiring them out thing. I like Ben's call of Clement because we saw T.J. Yeldon have some success out of the backfield with Jacksonville. I think this Patriots team, I'd be all about the Patriots in this game if their defense was better. Like, their just defense isn't that dominant. Most of the year they've been to bend but don't break. They have excellent red zone defense, but they give up a lot of yards, and that's okay. That's the Belichick sort of approach, but they're just not a dominant defense. They're missing some of those stud guys they've had over the years. I mean, their corners are good, but it's still like, I expect more from a Belichick team. Maybe that's just a first impression because they were so dominant at the early part of this run. So I like the Clement because what Ben just said, you can get one completion, can get that right out of the backfield, break a tackle, and all of a sudden that's a 13-yard gain. But I still, at the end of the day, I think the Patriots get it done. Not comfortably, like a blowout, but I think they cover.
Well, I'm sure that the books in Vegas would do very well if the Patriots were to win this game by between 1 and 3 points, because I know there's a lot of money out there on Philadelphia money line, and I do think a lot of people are going to look to lay some money on New England this weekend. New England by a field goal would be a very welcome result for the house, I'm pretty sure.
Well, we'll be rooting for that, of course. We always root for the book's prosperity. And is your mom getting back out there this for this one? Is she going to have more fun than the last Super Bowl? Or?
No, well, I don't think – she probably won't even watch the game. I don't think she really cares too much. I doubt she watched that Denver-Carolina game either. But next time she comes out here, I'll try to give her a more fun bet than the under. But, hey, that was an easy winner, man. I mean, that's all that counts, right?
As long as she's going to the counter and cashing, you know, you got another customer. I think that's what you want.
You know what our worst-case scenario on this game is? If either team scored exactly 4 points, we would get absolutely killed. We've got that at 9,999 to one. That would be a disaster for us, man. We would get killed. I'd probably be looking for a new job come Tuesday.
So your mom, after that huge win, did not, like, open up get a bookie back in the D.C. area after that and, like, start getting a regular, become a regular bettor at all?
Well, dog, betting in the D.C. area, that would be illegal. Absolutely.
Right, not. But she didn't feel the need after that huge score to just, like, press and get a bookie and maybe open up some offshore accounts and get involved?
I don't even know if she understood what betting the under meant. She's a lot savvier than most moms, though, guys. She is a frequent listener to this show, so she certainly is a lot savvier than most people, but she's also a lot smarter than most people, so she doesn't really care what happens in an NFL game.
Nice. Well, it is good to get more people interested in listening, whatever it takes. It is kind of fun. That is fun. I talked to a prop bettor earlier this week, and we had a good chuckle about like how to explain. How would one explain explain what I'm doing with the prop bets and getting middles and stuff to someone who just doesn't understand betting at all? And I brought up an example, like a girl was trying to explain. I was trying to explain an over under to a girl once who really didn't understand at all, but she's like familiar with like casino games or whatever. And I just said, all right. You order pizza delivery, and you get off the phone, and they say it'll take about 30 minutes. And I say, all right, if I say 10 minutes, are you going to take the over or under? She's like, oh, I'll take the over. I go, all right, 15, over. And I go, what about 29 and a half minutes? She's like, ooh, that's tough. I'm like, and that's a point spread, and that's an over under.
That's actually a very, very good way of saying it. And the one fun thing about all the props we do, guys, is we have people coming in here, people that don't normally probably bet on football at all, and they love to come up to the window, and they'll bet, you know, a few bucks, 5, 10, 20 bucks on 100 of these props, and I'm sure it's fun for them watching the game. There's just so many different outcomes to root for. It's got to be a lot of fun.
I mean, look, anytime we can explain what a middle is and get insight into Doug's dating life, I think it's pretty much a win-win for all around. Murray, thanks so much. We'll have you on next week, and good luck to everyone.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. It should be an exciting game, and hopefully it goes under, and I think we're going to do okay either way. There's so much money, like I said, in all these pools, so no matter what, I think the lights will still be on come Monday, Tuesday morning. Unless one of these teams scores 4 points, then I might be looking for new employment.
It would be great.
Well, we need to go 3-0 on the pod. Otherwise, we might have to figure something out down the road.
Ooh, Doug, you know what would be an easy way, too, to describe to describe the over-under? The Golden Nugget, I want to give them a quick shout-out. They put up a hilarious prop over-under the weight of the first player to score a touchdown in this game. 215. Anybody could understand that.
That's excellent.
Prop. I wanted to just mention that real quick. I thought that was really funny. And anybody would understand that one, right, guys? The Super Bowl is for everybody.
Yeah, that's the goal. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
You guys have a good weekend.
All right. Doug had to run to an interview. So up next, David Purdom, ESPN gambling writer. I'll chat with him about the Super Bowl, BetterX, and more coming up. We bring in now David Purdom, full-time gambling writer here at ESPN Chalk. Purdom, you are on your way to Vegas from Atlanta. I believe you are in traffic, but now you've pulled over at a gas station to come talk to us. Is that correct?
That is true. That is breaking news. I am at the Citgo or Shell station here right outside the Atlanta airport.
That's good. He's at the Citgo, but he's come on. He's going to share some wisdom. You've been talking to bookmakers all week, obviously headed out to Vegas for the big game. This open, kind of New England, 5.5, 6 around town. It's down to 4 at a lot of places, 4.5 some places. Not a whole lot of movement on the total. From the guys you've spoken to, kind of where has the money come in so far, and where do they potentially think it's going to go as we get more and more public money going into the weekend?
It's all Eagles right now. I mean, it is lopsided on the Eagles. I think William Hill, which is the biggest sports book in Nevada by volume, I think they said 88% of all their bets on the point spread of this game or on the Eagles at this time. So the books have been surprised, and that's book by book across town, just about how overwhelming the support has been on the Eagles. They're waiting and hoping some Patriots money, and they're expecting some Patriots money to come in, but it has not shown up yet. It kind of reminds me of 2008. This is the first Patriots-Giants Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It's one of only two that Nevada sports books have come up on the short end. They actually lost money. that year, same thing. They thought, okay, Patriots money is going to show up eventually. Patriots money is going to show up eventually. Never did. Giants money all the time. Giants pulled the upset. Nevada Sportsbooks lost $2 million on the Super Bowl. It's their worst loss ever, and like I said, only their second loss in the last 25, 27 years on Super Bowls. So that's a little bit ominous. They kind of like can't believe they have to wait for Patriots money, but that seems to be the case at this time.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, I mean, I know with, you know, kind of in the same vein as a big fight, there's always a lot of public money on the underdog because you like to bet a small amount of money to win a large amount of money. Who doesn't? Are a lot of those Philly bets, the sense you've gotten, a lot of them money line, a lot of them also spread? It's a mix.
Well, there is definitely a lot of money line on there, and there always is on the Super Bowl. The best case scenario for the sports books almost every year on the Super Bowl or any big game, really, it is the favorite to win but not cover the spread. The favorite to win, because that would cancel out all those money line bets on the underdog. Like you said, people want to gravitate. They want to bet $100 to win $175. So they're kind of loading up on Philadelphia on that side. The biggest bets, there's been $3 million reported bets. All three have been on the Eagles.
So transition perfectly. It's like you're hosting this thing. I don't even know why I'm here. But we wanted to talk about the big bets. Obviously, the guy, and we had an article, a newser, or a couple, I should say, from last week, and one specifically on the guy we're naming Better X. John Murray wanted credit for Better X. I'm not sure whether we had termed it. I forgot if we termed it on the podcast, if you had said it, if I had said it. I told him I'd give him some credit for it. But either way, a guy who was betting, he was betting the World Series. He was, I believe, alternating teams. He bet five of the games, was undefeated, won somewhere around $10 million. And now he is back with, I believe, most of the confirmed big bets that you discussed, two of the $1 million bets. And the other one was $1.6 million on the Eagles yesterday, I believe. And that was the Eagles plus 4.5 at William Hill, but it was in the Bahamas. I'm going to go ahead and say that's not the same guy, I'm going to guess, unless he flew there.
As far as I know, that is not the same guy. He certainly has the money after to fly to the Bahamas after what he did on the World Series, and it's a really incredible story. You know, we get a lot of incredible, fantastic, sensational stories out of Las Vegas. Gosh, this one is way, way up there. Guy has been on an amazing run, and you know what's kind of refreshing about it? He's not looking for publicity, and it kind of feels weird. Hey, I've written about this guy, and honestly, but he's not looking to get his name out there at this time, and he's not looking to, he doesn't want the publicity. He's tried to keep the books to kind of not give out many details, and that's kind of refreshing, because you run into a lot of guys in this business that they really want the publicity, and so amazing run by this guy, and I have some respect, some props to him for kind of keeping quiet.
And I guess in that vein, talk to me a little bit about the rarity, I guess, of, you know, we always get big Super Bowl bets and people are expecting mm-hmm. six-figure bets, 100,000, 200,000. How rare is it to have one person basically, because I believe last year, because I think I was comparing it to the Mayweather-McGregor fight where there was, correct me on the number, at least six, maybe there were $7 or $8 million bets, and I believe there was one on the Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl. So already now there's three and two confirmed by the same guy. So how rare is it, I guess, A, the big numbers and the million-dollar bets, and then B, that it's the same person spreading it around town?
Well, like you said, we do get million-dollar bets on the Super Bowl. I think we had one last year, and usually a $1 million bet will at least will show up and be reported in Nevada. For one guy to do it, it's extremely rare. Billy Walters, who's one of the most renowned sports bettors in the last 20 years, 30 years, he had, I believe the total was $5.5 million on the Saints versus the Colts that year. And that was spread out a bunch of books and probably some offshore as well. So that was a large wager that he had going on there. But that's how it works these days, is you're not going to be able to get $8 million down or $10 million down at one book. You're going to have to kind of spread it around and go book to book, because books have, you know, a risk tolerance. They know how much they can afford to take, and they will allow you to take that much. So really, it is very rare to have this one guy going around doing this.
And I guess to that point as well, What is your take on, I mean, you know, everyone says diversify your portfolio when you're investing in stocks. This guy's going all Eagles money line, and I believe a couple of the Eagles point spreads. Now, again, if he's putting, you know, $100,000 on a New England prop here and there, we're not sure, but he's certainly not hedging in a big way, it would seem. Is that also rare just in kind of, you know, he's going, I feel like sometimes we talk about on the pod a little bit between betting and gambling. You know, how rare is it that he's just going, you know, he's got his bet, he believes in the team, and he's going all in there with, again, you know, I think he started from not that much money, made all of it on the World Series. You know, if I had $10 million, I don't know that I'd be putting it all on the underdog betting against Bill Belichick. But I also didn't win $10 million in the first place. So, you know, I will defer to his expertise.
Well, his expertise, of my understanding, is in the UFC and in MMA. That is where he is a respected player. The baseball may have been the first baseball games he bet all year, may have been the World Series. And that may be the same for the Super Bowl. So nobody is saying this guy is a very sharp or well-versed sports bettor in terms of football. He obviously knows the odds. He obviously is experienced better, but not so much on these sports. His expertise is in UFC. So for him to be going out there and saying, I'm going to take an underdog and I'm not even going to take the points, I'm going to take the money line, that is pretty rare. Now, when you talked about, you know, people betting both sides or kind of hedging their bets a little bit, that is a big thing right now in Las Vegas and all the sports betting world, specifically because of the mobile betting and the in-game betting. You can get a position of where you have a really good side on one thing and the line moves or the odds moves or the in-game presents an opportunity to kind of hedge your bet where you can lock in a profit. I do not believe this guy is doing that at this time. I have no one has said that to me. As far as I know, it's all money line, no point spreads. But you're right, that does happen a lot. You do get the more sophisticated players. We wrote about a syndicate that does this exclusively. They just kind of play the line movements, and they want to get the best numbers on both sides. So ideally, they'd want Eagles plus six, and then if we get the late line down to Patriots minus 3.5 or minus 4, they may take a little bit going back on that. So that's a lot how it happens these days. There's with arbitrage, and guys are not really necessarily betting their opinion. They're simply trying to get the best numbers.
Right. And to be clear, I think there's no way he can, I mean, there's no way he can hedge, you know, that much in game, I would imagine. Correct? Like, I have no idea the amounts, but I can't imagine if he has, let's estimate it at $5 million on the Eagles, what could he potentially get down in game on the Patriots? Like, a couple hundred thousand at most?
At the very, very most.
At the very most.
Pretty hard. You know, maybe he could play the halftime line over the counter or something like that and get down a little bit more.
Right.
But that was how you would do it. Let's say the Eagles jump out to a first half lead, you know, 21-7 or something like that, and the odds on the Patriots are suddenly the Patriots are underdogs. So if he wanted to come back and say, you know what, as long as I hold on here, I win all these millions of dollars. But if I go ahead and put how much ever I can get down on the Patriots at plus odds, I lock in a little bit of money there. So that's how he could do it. But limits are low on in-game wagering at this time. Rushing to the counter at the halftime bet to bet the Super Bowl to try to get bigger limits is not going to be quite as easy because there are crowds. So that would be a difficult way. I don't think he is planning to do that.
Yeah, I think you'd have to probably get in line when the second quarter started to
Exactly.
And hope it went well. That would certainly be a perfect scenario. It's a great story. I will be rooting for the Eagles regardless, mostly because, you know, nobody wants to see the Patriots win another another Super Bowl. At least that's how I feel in New England. Did the Eagles beat my Vikings? Yes, but they also played kind of a perfect game, and they also haven't won a Super Bowl. So, you know, Eagles fans get a bad reputation. I think some of it's deserved. I think some of it's exaggerated, but I'm all for spreading the wealth to fan bases that haven't had that before. And so if the, you know, the Eagles won, I wouldn't be offended. And with that, now, you know, we do know it's a gambling podcast. We do have to have some sort of pick. We'll go with the Westgate. So we'll go New England minus 4, total of 48. What are your thoughts? We should say you are a professional handicapper, so you should probably take the mortgage to the bank and put this bet in.
Then we should probably add that my professional handicapping consists of $20 wagers.
I am
risk tolerant here. That's what I'll be placing. And I think the value is on the Patriots on the money line. It feels like a one-score game to me. In that kind of situation, I look, well, I could have Tom Brady or Nick Foles in a one-score game. Who do I want? Clearly, I like Tom Brady in that situation. I do think it's a low-scoring game. The total, 48.5, I don't think we get up there. I think this is going to be some red zone stops for both teams, some field goals. And if you can get field goals instead of touchdowns, that usually presents an under. I don't think that we'll see any kind of defensive touchdowns. Brady does a good enough job of taking care of the ball, at least from the Eagles side. I don't think there'll be any defensive touchdowns. So I'm going to take Patriots money line, and I'm going to take the under. I gave Matt Yeomans over at VSIN. My pick was 20-16, so that'd be right on the number there. I do think it's a one-score game. I'm not willing to lay four and a half points with Patriots, but since that money line dipping down with the guy, you know, pushing down that with all this money on the Eagles money line and kind of bringing that Patriots money line down a little bit, I think it's worth the chance.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense. I think if you had a blind test of what would the spread be in the Super Bowl with New England and Philadelphia before the playoffs started, I'd be shocked if it wasn't New England -7, at least.
Mm-hmm.
With, again, going into the playoffs with how Nick Foles played well in one game with the Giants, horribly against the Raiders, and then they took him out week 17 after, I believe, one or two series. It does seem like there's value on the Patriots, and as we always say, you're never going to look bad or feel dumb betting on the Patriots. You know, if they lose, they lose, but you know you're going with a well-prepared team that's obviously been there before. They know the ins and outs of the Super Bowl, the long halftime, et cetera, et cetera. So it should be a good game. Purdom, thanks for coming on. Have a safe flight, and we'll check in next week, see how the books did, how you did, how you're parting with that $20 win. We'll all be exciting.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks. That's going to do it for this week. Behind the Bets, I am Ben Fox for Doug Kazarian in Minneapolis. He will be back before the game, watching the game probably in the office on Sunday. We'll be back next week, likely in the middle of the week, to recap it all. Should be a great game. Probably will break the record handle, 138.4 million wagered across Nevada sportsbooks. We'll be back to discuss that. Hopefully an Eagles win, and more next week. Until then.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts.